setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. That's right. It's not politics. It's purpose that we talk about here on The Ken Coleman Show. We don't look to Washington, D.C. for our future. We look inward. That's right. What were you created to do? Well, how do you begin to figure that process out? We call it discovery. How do you start discovery? Well, you look inward. We look at what you do best. That's just talent. Everybody's born with some raw talent. You can develop those into skills. And then we look at what you love to do most. This is passion. This is heart beating stuff. Your heart feels alive when you think about it, when you're engaged in it, when you're done with it, you feel great. You feel satisfaction because you love the work and it creates results that matter deeply to you. So that's what we look at, the intersection of what you do best and what you love to do most. That's the sweet spot. In your sweet spot is a unique primary role and multiple jobs and career paths. So it's not just this anxiety-ridden space. It ought to be a space of freedom and of excitement because you have tremendous clarity and confidence in your sweet spot. So that's what we are about. And everybody was created to fill a unique role. That means you are needed and you must do it. So we're here to help you be you on behalf of those that you're supposed to be you for. It's for others. So let's start it off. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the number. Will's on the line in Austin, Texas. Will, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure. How can I help today?
Well, I guess in short, I'm just trying to figure out that sweet spot that you were just talking about. Just a little context. I'm a high school teacher. I've been teaching for a little over 7 years, and also act as a department director. And but you know, teaching doesn't necessarily pay a salary that I can solely provide for my family. And that's a direction we want to, my family, my wife, and I want to move in, is be able to live off of my income primarily. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of got the conversation going. You know, what options are out there? So I started trying to figure out this point of where do my skills intersect with my passions and what things exist outside of teaching or outside of education or secondary education, I guess. And so that's kind of the journey that I've been on the past couple of months.
Okay. So tell me what you know. Tell me what your top talents and top passions are, and let's see if we can figure out the intersection that makes sense.
Okay. So I guess as far as talents go, teaching, coaching, instruction, verbal communication, written communication, interpersonal communication, things along those lines. I feel like I'm pretty strong, even within the teaching umbrella. I feel like I'm fairly good at curriculum development, project management, even program management as overseeing a full department in a school. And as far as passions go, that's kind of where I get hung up a little bit. I tend to overanalyze things, and I think that as I think about my passions, I immediately jump to, well, the only careers in that field are blank, and I know what that's like, you know. And
yeah, so but that's the problem. Yeah. So I'm glad you've called today, because I love that you admitted that you're overanalyzing, because we all do this, some of us more than others. And so you're trying to get too far down the road by thinking the career. I don't want you to think of career. I want you thinking, what is the work, that the function, the task, the activity that when I'm engaged in it, my heart comes alive. And let's keep it that simple. So what are those things? And I'll bet you are going to find there's some correlation. In fact, there always is a connection between what you just listed out so clearly on your talent line. So what task, functions, activities, or roles make your heart come alive? Just say it. Don't overthink it.
I enjoy working on a task as part of a group. I really enjoy that group dynamic. Let's see. I am passionate about being able to help people, to be able to guide people. If I think I know something that is beneficial for them, I want to be able to relay that information.
Right.
and do what I can to help there. Let's see, I enjoy creativity and opportunities to you know, operate in a creative space, whatever the job may be. I want to try to find different ways to approach that.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Is that creative expression through thought, meaning the verbal thought or the written thought, or is it a creative solution? When you say you like to be creative, I want you to identify very specifically the type of thing that when you are forced to be creative, you go, Ken, I love this. It gives me the juice.
Oh, man, that's a good question.
No, it is, but you know the answer, so say it.
I would say the creative solution is probably more where I land.
Right. See, the difference between creating content versus creating a solution. There's a difference.
Yeah.
And so you like creating solutions, okay? So what type of solutions get you most fired up? Is it on behalf of a person, a learning plan? Is it? You understand where I'm going here? Identify it. Say it. Don't think it. Say it.
I'd say it's probably something like that. Like, I want to, and I'm trying to think of my experience here.
Forget about experience.
Anytime there's a problem that arises, I want to try to figure out the best creative way to, so it could be if it's in relation to a specific individual, great. If it's an organization or something that needs to be, you know, across the organization, you know, that's great too.
Okay, so let's go back. Let's look at what you said were your top talents. Teaching, then you said coaching, and then communication. You said verbal and written, but you also love project and program management. Then when I pressed you on the task, the type of work that really makes your heart sing, you said guiding people and creating solutions. I pressed you further on what type of solutions, and for you, it was solving problems for people, whether it be individual or groups. And so do you start to see a pattern there? If you see where the sweet spot starts to open up really clearly for you, it means there could be multiple jobs and career paths within the sweet spot, but it's always going to involve your love of communication in order to help solve some type of organizational / people problem. Do you see that clearly?
Yeah.
Well, then you start writing that down tonight. That's your homework assignment. What are all the ways that you can use your communication skills and guiding to use your communication and project management, creative solution skills? How can you use that to solve those type of people and organization problems? And just write down all the different ways you could do that. Now, real quick, because we only got about 40 seconds. I need a quick answer. Mm-hmm. How much do you make as a teacher right now?
I make 57.
57. And how much could you make in administration if you moved up the ladder as a principal or maybe even a you know, within the school education system, moving up into an administrative role?
If I moved into an assistant principal, which would be the next step, it'd be anywhere probably around 70,000, somewhere around there.
Okay, so let me give you a bit of truth here since I already gave you your homework assignment. The third largest group of net worth millionaires in the United States right now are teachers. So you can live on less than you make right now and keep moving up the ladder. But do the homework assignment, and identify it, and move forward. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Every day on The Ken Coleman Show, I talk to people who want to switch to a technology career, but they're worried it's going to cost way too much and take too long. Well, now my friends at Bethel Tech take care of all of that. You can get the most in-demand tech skills online and affordably. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to learn how you can save $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition and get a great technology job. betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Again, that's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you get on purpose and change your Mondays. I'm Ken. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. Every day, taking your phone calls so that you can get the clarity you need to confidently step forward towards that dream job. It's absolutely doable, and we'll give you the clarity by just helping you break down what you do best and what you love to do most. That's right. Talent plus passion. You figure out how to use that talent to do what you love. You're in your sweet spot. Multiple paths there in the sweet spot, but what do they all have in common? It feels like a sweet spot, right? Feels almost effortless because you're good at it and you love it. That's when we are operating in extreme maximum effort. And that is fun. That will change the way you look at the work week. So let's get about it, shall we? 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Josiah is on the line in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Josiah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How is it going today?
I am living the dream, sir. How can I help?
All right. Perfect. My name, I'm Josiah. I'm 26 years old. I'm debt-free, and I have emergency funds, savings set up, and I also speak fluent Spanish, 100% fluent Spanish after 5 years living in South America as a social worker. And my question is, I launched a part-time interpreting, basically Spanish interpreting for schools for that. Just had my first client a couple weeks ago.
Obviously,
I'm not going to go start my own business full-time tomorrow, of course, but I'm calling because a lot of times in this field, the demand is quite frequently during the day when I'm working my full-time gig.
Right.
I also have a product that I would like to release, and I'm basically asking for advice on how to manage my time so that way I can obviously get the most clients and get the most income to be able to fund that project while remaining debt-free.
Yeah. Well, what's the full-time job?
So full-time, I actually work for a third party. We process claims for insurance companies, but I assist with Spanish clients. So when they call in, I speak to them in Spanish.
Okay.
And I work with all of the Spanish clients.
Okay,
car insurance, basically.
And your business right now is you're teaching people Spanish to English or English to Spanish or both?
So I actually interpret. So I'm actually interpreting as well as I did pick up somebody that I'm tutoring.
Okay.
But I, for example, the first client that I had, I interpreted for them, and I actually prepared a little bit of translation for some of their documents for their business as well into Spanish.
Okay, great.
English.
And what's your hourly rate for that? Is that assuming it's an hourly rate?
Yeah, absolutely. So for interpreting, I started at kind of a lower rate for translation, mainly interpreting and translation, since they are different. Translation, I charge a little bit less per word than the average, just because of a little lower, little less experience.
Yeah.
So I charge at eight cents a word.
Okay.
And then for interpreting, I have a base fee of $25 an hour with a base charge of $25.
Okay. All right. So the real challenge that you have is you want the freedom, or you need the freedom, because most of your potential clients are going to need you during the day and you've got a day job. So there's your challenge.
Yep.
There's no really easy answer to this other than you're going to have to really burn the candle. You might have to do it really early morning. You know what I mean? The other question is, do you have any flexibility with your day job to change your hours there? Or is that a 9-to-5 type situation?
It's a 7-to-4 situation right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, could it be 9-to-5, which would give you another hour in the morning to maybe do some things early morning?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, I would look into that because the deal is you've got to build this thing up, and this is going to take a while. I mean, have you run the numbers, just run a little modest business plan based on that hourly rate you're charging and then the per word rate, how many clients or how many hours you're going to have to log in a month to replace your current day job?
Yeah.
Have you done that?
I haven't.
No,
to be completely honest, I haven't done it as much as I need to be doing it.
Well, that's
I have
okay.
done a little bit, but...
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm not getting on you. What I'm saying is,
right.
is you need a realistic point of view here. And I'm operating in the gray because I don't know that answer. And that would be the first thing that I would do if I were you is, okay, if I'm going to replace my current income, which is X amount of dollars per year, you need to back out of that and go, all right, what's realistic? And so you're going to have to look at that. And then you're going to have to see if the market will allow you the flexibility, meaning will these potential customers allow you to do it off hours? And if it's not, they're going to go to somebody else, and you're competing with people that are available during the day, then you've got a whole nother situation to try to figure out how to solve.
Right, and that's the situation I'm kind of looking at. Like, I've actually turned down opportunities because of the fact that I'm working.
Right. So here's what would be the first thing that you would do if you come to the realization that the only way to get this thing going is to be available during the day? It means you're going to have to work a night shift.
I would probably go that route and then just pick up a side hustle on the side, working at wherever I would need to work at.
That's right. But I mean, I would just go the night route, and if you can, right. if you can get a full-time job that replaces your income right now, that's working a later shift, then that's all you would need, I would think. And because you're already got, this is your side hustle. This is your eventual full-time dream. And so that's why you called. You want to know how you get there? Sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. There are times where you'll need to sacrifice money. There'll be times where you don't, where all you need to do is sacrifice your time, sacrifice some relationships, sacrifice some things that you do that you can't do anymore. But is it worth it to get where you want to get to in the end? I would tell you unequivocally, yes, it is worth it. So that's what you're going to have to do. Let's go to Eli, who's on the line in Amarillo, Texas. Eli, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. How can I help?
Well, actually, no help. I was calling to say, hey, thanks for the book that you have written.
My
mother-in-law picked me up the book as I was in the process of getting my own business started.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the strategies that you have in there about the proximity and like meeting people is going to be critical in my business.
Oh, that's great, man. Well, are you using any of it so far?
Yes, if I remember the earlier part of the book, and also listen to part of your radio show, like reaching out to some of the people that you already know,
mm-hmm.
and then there's also some of these that will be potential future clients. I've already done some work for them as well. It's kind of more like consulting work, but they've already asked to have a sit down. Meeting with me to talk about my business and then what kind of services I can offer to their firms.
Great.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's a great, the book came at the right time. And so
that's awesome.
That was a big thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very nice. And I appreciate the call. Folks, I'm very proud of the Proximity Principle because it's not some motivational book with just a bunch of inspirational platitudes in it. There are five specific people, five specific places, four very unique and clear path practices at the end of the book that bring it all together. And it's a simple formula for success. The right people plus the right places equals opportunity. Opportunity to step into the work you love. Opportunity to just get in the industry, opportunity to start a business, opportunity to land more clients, opportunity to get more qualified, to learn more, do more. I don't care where you are on the ladder of success. The first rung, couple rungs up, or near the top of the ladder, proximity to the right people and to the right places positions you where you need to be and propels you to where you want to be. It's that simple. So you can get it at kencoleman.com or wherever books are sold. It's a great gift for anybody in your life. It's just not quite where they want to be. Absolutely love that. Thank you for the call. Got this email in from Chad. He said, hey, Ken, I've listened to your show since 2017, and I wanted to let you know that I had a life curveball. I'd been a machinist for almost 10 years and loved that work. Always enjoyed using my hands, and I was unexpectedly laid off. Well, I started listening to you and heard a gentleman call in, and he mentioned that he had a side hustle that involved pressure washing. That stuck with me, and I did a bunch of research. Read online, drove to industry events halfway across the country, made phone calls, talked with people who had these businesses. That's the proximity principle right there. Long story short, I bought the minimum amount of equipment, started doing the work on the side. Ha ha, now he's cash flowing his way to success. Love that story. More Ken Coleman Show coming up. Shining the shining the light on your path to purpose. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Sounded like I was from Alabama there for a second, Joe. Where you frequent? You know what I mean? Because like in certain parts of the country, light is lot. Oh, it's fun. Hey, folks, helping you get the clarity you need to confidently step out on your path to fulfilling the role that you were created to fill. How do we do that? We look at what you do best, talent and skills, and what you love to do most, passion, work that makes you come alive, and the results that mean a lot to you. Now, this is all doable. I promise. Never been a better time. So let's help you out. Coming up a little later, oh my gosh, more awful news coming out of the workplace that, well, that's why we're here. 8 out of 10 people have cried at work. A new article, Joe. I'll share why. It's not that shocking to me, maybe shocking to you, but we'll dive into that. And no judgment there, by the way. We're not going to judge any tears. We're going to look at what's causing the tears. This is really happening in the American workplace. So we'll get to that momentarily. 844-747-2577. The number, let's go to Josh, who's on the line in Huntington Beach, California. Josh, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. How can I help today?
I was just wondering, how would you suggest me to stay positive in a frustrating situation?
Well, let's talk about what is causing the frustration.
Well, I'm at a small company. I do all of the marketing, so I actually do a little bit more as well. I do a little bit HR. I do some customer service, and I've been looking for a new job. Get pretty close and then get rejected, or something comes up, or I don't even hear back. So I'm starting to get a little frustrated, trying to stay positive, trying to push forward, and just want some advice on that.
All right, what have you been applying for, and how have you been applying? Tell me that. Break that down.
I've been applying for digital marketing specialist positions. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the strategy and the help that digital advertising provides for companies. So I've been mostly just finding jobs on LinkedIn and Indeed.
And tell me how you apply. What does that look like? What's the process?
I usually just go through the application process that is suggested on LinkedIn, or it takes me to their website and I apply on their website.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll email the hiring manager, but for the most part, I just kind of go through the process.
And tell me how that's working out. How many interviews have you gotten as a result of that strategy?
I've gotten 3 or 4.
Okay.
All right. And
that's better than I thought. That's better than I thought, because here's the deal. You're essentially playing the lottery the way you're doing this right now. You're just hoping that you look more attractive on your resume than everybody else does. That's what you're hoping for. And to your credit, you've clearly got enough skill set and experience that you've gotten 3 or 4 calls. And did you get an in-person interview or these phone interviews? What did that look like?
They've all been phone interviews.
Okay. All right. And you never got anywhere after that?
No.
Okay.
Unfortunately not.
Okay. So there's two things that are happening. The first and the most important thing that is actually not happening is you're not applying the right way. The Ken Coleman Show way is to actually make sure that you find some type of personal connection in that building. So the companies that you've applied for, let's just go back and talk about the 3 or 4 that you've gotten phone interviews. In each one of those situations, I want you looking to find a connection, whether it's 1-to-1, 1-to-5. What I mean by 1-to-5 is like there may be 5 people between you and that person in the building, but in each of those connections, somebody is using their personal credibility and endorsing you each way through to where you're coming in not completely unknown, not completely cold, but you've actually been endorsed. That's what we're looking for. So that's the process. Now, that takes some time. It takes some hustle and diligence and some really intentional connecting, okay, using that web of connections I talk about in my book, The Proximity Principle. And so that is what you have to do first. And then you also need to prepare for these interviews the way I teach people to prepare, which is you're thinking through just the general questions you might be asked, but also you're specifically thinking through what are you going to ask when you get a chance to talk on those interviews, because you want to separate yourself from the rest of the candidates and get that in-person interview, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the way you do that is the questions that you ask to where you look insightful, you look prepared, you look humble and hungry. And so I walk you through all of that with my 2 Get Hired guides. There's 3 of them, but the first 2 are the resume and the interview guide. I teach you how to write a resume. It flips it from everybody else's resume, and we start with who you know. And so I want you to go to kencoleman.com when we're done with this call, and I want you to download all three Get Hired guides and start doing what I instruct you to do. And it's very clear. I give you step by step by step on how to rewrite your resume, number one, but number two, how to leverage the relationships that you have so that your resume is being put on someone's desk by somebody in that company because they've heard great things about Josh. So take heart. Be encouraged. On one hand, you've been doing it wrong, but there's no reason to get down about that. That should encourage you because now you know how to do it the right way. And you stay with it, but you have got to use your connections. And these aren't just close personal friends and family. This is also acquaintances. In fact, renowned sociologist Mark Granovetter did a study on this. Most people get jobs through their acquaintances, not close family members, not close friends. So what does that mean? That means most of you, if you're not getting job interviews, you're not leveraging your web of connections, primarily those people that if you saw them in the street today, you'd smile, say hi, they'd say, hey, hi back to you, and you've brushed up against each other at some point in life, and it's a warm relationship, and they're the ones who have the extended connections. And then good old-fashioned hustle. Who do I know that knows somebody that knows somebody, that knows somebody. This is the game changer. And LinkedIn is great for information, but unless there's a relationship to that link, you're not going to make the connection that you need to make. It's about relationships. Resumes are worthless without a relationship. All right, new study from Monster, the job search company. They did a new study. 8 out of 10 people in America have cried at work. They polled 3,000 workers and found that 45% of those who admitted to crying said it was because of their bosses or coworkers. Now, we call that a toxic workplace. It's one of the 5 reasons for buildup on the heart that make you feel like you're burned out. You're not burned out. You got buildup. Your heart's been completely covered up. And one of the big reasons, as I've said on the show many times, toxic workplace. That's a bad leader or awful coworkers. Now, only 19% of those respondents who cried said it was personal, non-work issues. So that's obvious. You're doing life and something bad happens to you. Personally, you're going to cry. We're not talking about those kind of tears. We're talking about the 45% who said it's because of a coworker or a leader. Now, listen to this. More than 15% of those who cried at work said it was because of workload. And then another 13% said it was over workplace bullying. Now, I don't know how they come up with that, but I'll just tell you, you add that 13% to the 45 who admitted to crying because of bosses or coworkers, and now that gets it up, obviously, to 58% due to toxic workplace environment. So, folks, 58% of people who reported crying at work, it's because of toxicity. Let me tell you something. You could be in your sweet spot doing something that you're good at and love. And if you've got poor leadership who allows toxicity and you got jerk coworkers, you're not going to want to go in. So, Ken, what do I do? Leave, but leave right. Let's find something else before we jump and then say, I'm out of here. Hasta la vista. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, America. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken, helping you figure out what you were created to do. That's right. The average American is going to spend over their lifetime 90,000 plus hours at work. Now, that's a staggering number. So between work and sleep, that is the majority of your life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having no purpose at work? Well, that's a large portion of America. They say, well, it's just a J-O-B. It's just a paycheck. And that's why you're slogging through every day. Monday morning, it's all about just surviving until Friday afternoon happy hour. Now, that's not the life that I want to live. And I don't think it's the one you want to live either. That's why the phone lines are full every day. Men and women want to get clear. Ken, how do I figure this out? Well, we're going to find your sweet spot. That's the first thing we do. We got to discover who you are. What makes you you? What do you do best? Talent. What do you love to do most? Passion. What results matter most? Values. Oh, okay. All right. Good. Okay. Now that I know that, now what? Well, let's figure out all the ways that you can use what you do best to do what you love to do most. That is what's inside of the sweet spot. Multiple jobs, multiple career paths, all defined by being in that sweet spot, which every one of them, it will allow you to use what you do best to do what you love to do most. Come on, you've got the answers. It's my job to pull them out of you. 844-747-2577. Bloomington, North Carolina is where we go next. Amber's on the line. Amber, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I'm excited to soak up some of your wisdom today.
Well, I got to tell you, I am excited to talk to you. What's going on?
So tomorrow I leave for a leadership conference I got invited to. So I'm going to be in proximity of like my CEO, my president, and a lot of influential leaders. So it's a two-part question because I want to know what questions you recommend me ask to just take advantage of their time as much as possible. And then also I got asked to put in for a promotion for the company too. So I want to be able to stand out for the promotion that I applied for.
Okay, great. Now, you're saying that you're going to get FaceTime with the CEO and a few other key leaders?
Yes.
Okay. So the first part of what questions should you be asking?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I love these. These are just a few, and you can build off of these. But one of the first ones I'd ask is ask them how they would define a person who wins at your organization. How would they describe or define a person who wins in the organization? Okay. Another question is, what are they most excited about in the upcoming 12 to 24 months in the business? What are they most excited about? Those are two specific sample questions to do a couple things. Number one, to make you stand out, because not most people will ask that those types of questions. Those are insightful. You've thought through those. Well, they don't have to know that you called me for that, right? We'll keep that a secret. Yeah, and so the idea here is that you want them you want to almost put them on their heels a little bit in a positive way, not put them on the defensive, but just, oh, well, how would I describe someone who wins at our organization? Okay, great. And but see, you're asking that on your behalf. They know you're asking that on your behalf, but you're not saying, hey, tell me what I can do to win, you know, because then you don't want them to misinterpret what you're asking. And they might
not. Right, they feel valuable for giving me that information.
That's exactly right. They're going to feel very valuable. Now, the other question is, you thinking long term and showing, you know, some interest in the success of the company, and what are they most excited about over the next 12 to 24 months? New initiatives, and then potentially ask them a personal question. I like this one too, which is, how do they continue to stay in a learning mode, challenging themselves? How do you continue to challenge yourself? I'd love to learn from your personal growth strategy. Something like that is another really good question. Those three are going to raise eyebrows. Now, the second part of the question, I heard what you said, but I'm not quite sure exactly what you're looking for from me. You've been offered the promotion already, correct?
I got asked to apply for it, so I'm not sure
apply.
If it's going to be offered yet. But which is awesome,
sorry.
Because they were thinking of me for a job that has been posted for a month that I didn't think I would have much interest in. And then when I learned more about it, my name came up in front of a lot of like district and area managers.
All right. Do you think that the CEO and those leaders know that you've been asked to apply for that?
I emailed them today. So there is like 500 businesses that they are over. So I am wanting to stick out. My store is the store that I'm in right now is being highlighted right now because we're grossing more than any other store in the company. So that will be big when they see an email from this.
Okay, good.
Email.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a variation of the three questions I just gave you for this particular challenge. So how do you stick out? So, hey, I was asked to apply for this. I'm interested in it, and I'm going to throw my hat in the ring, but I'm just curious what you would say to any candidate, not just me, about maybe the most important thing that we need to be able to address in this job interview process for this particular thing? What's important that we know? What's important that maybe that this candidate's going to have to do? Because I want to make sure that I've got the right mindset for what this new challenge could be. Something like that. And you're wanting them to weigh in on that particular position and what they think of it, what they think you might need to do to win there, to be prepared for that, or perspective they'd like every candidate to have. Because that's really, again, another thoughtful question that'll put you in a really good light.
Awesome. I have a lot of notes here, so thank you.
Good, good, good. Hey, I want to hear back from you. If you get it, Amber, you got to call in on the show and tell us. This is not a one-and-done show. We love highlighting callers who are making progress, so I'd love for you to do that. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Brittany, who's on the line in Dallas, Texas. Brittany, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Nice to speak with you again.
Good to talk with you. What are we talking about today?
All right. So we spoke at the end of July, and the last time we spoke, I was informing you about my online business and how it's really growing and taking off.
Okay.
As far as my 9-to-5 goes, I work in retail, commission only, and as you know, big box retail is changing, and I don't make the money that I used to make. So, yes, my business is growing, but I still need that 9-to-5 income. And you told me, go ahead and switch jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've been interviewing and I've landed a second interview. Your questions have really helped me in the interview process. So I just wanted to reach out to you again and get some more in-depth second interview prep.
Oh, okay, great. So you used the how to win the interview guide at kencoleman.com and it got you a second interview?
I sure did. I downloaded it, have it printed out right now.
Oh, I love it. Now, let me ask you this, just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
When you asked those questions that I prepared you to ask in that guide, mm-hmm. how did that go? Mm-hmm. How did that go? Could you see a real spark? They really appreciated those questions?
They definitely did, and they told me that, oh, wow, those are great questions that you're asking.
Okay, so now we got interview two. So I would focus mm-hmm. your interview two questions. It's not so much for them and trying to impress them. This is about okay. making sure that you have all of your questions answered. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so here's what I'd like you to do. I want you, because I don't have the questions for you, because I think they need to be your
right.
questions. So they're the type of things like, what are you still wondering about that you didn't get clarity on last time? Okay. Another question would be, what would you like to know about the growth of this position? Not just getting the position, but where does this position go? What does a ladder look like if they were to give you this? So say something like that. Hey, if I were to get this opportunity, and of course I'd love to get it, what would a ladder look like for development and growth? That's another really good question that will put them on their heels. And I think that's something you need to know. You need to know, as I write about in my book, The Proximity Principle, being a place to grow where there is a ladder. So they develop people and they promote people. You want to know that. And then any other questions where you just really need to think through, what's something I don't know that I'd like to know, whether it's minutia or if it's major. So that's what I would ask. Go in there, handwrite them, have them in front of you, or type them out. That always impresses. When people see that you prepared and you came with specific things to ask, it always makes you look better than everybody else. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you do matter. You do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey good folks, this is John, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.